Welcome to this service. Thank you. I remind you that we have notices on that you're being given. Remember they're to be taken away and perused rather than just left in here. Otherwise, could we just throw them away? But they're there for you to take away and read, okay? I've been asked to remind everybody about the Evensong, which is 3 o'clock at Holy Trinity, I think, isn't it? 3 o'clock at Holy Trinity, and it's sung Evensong. And I've been asked by Deborah to say, if you would like to sing in that, the sung Evensong, there's a run-through at 2:30. We're a bit short on people singing. So if you'd like to sing in it, go at 2:30, just for a run-through of what you will be singing. Okay? Thank you very much. Otherwise, you've got something about the quiz. And some of you have got something about the quiz in your sheets. And everything else is in here. Thank you. So let's start with a prayer for our interregnum. You'll find that on the back of your service sheets. Sorry, it's not notices. Gracious God, you are with us always. We thank you for guiding us by your Spirit through our life together as church. We pray that we may hear your voice in this time of interregnum. Grant us patience, grant us vision, and grant us courage as we seek a new priest for our two churches. And by your grace, lead us to be a more Christ-like church, a church that is contemplative, compassionate, and courageous. Because we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And in your prayers, please remember that Monday, I think it is, shortlisting will take place. So the people who have applied will be shortlisted on Monday. Is that right, Emma? Yes. Thank you. Right. So our first hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God, number 51.
Oh,
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please sit down. Loving Lord Jesus, we have come to sing to you, to pray to you, and to hear you speaking to us. Help us to know that you are with us now and always. Amen. We come to confession. And always say, are we perfect? No, we are not perfect. We need God's forgiveness. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let us bring our secret sins into his light and confess them to him. O God, our gracious Father, you know us as we really are. You know our selfishness, our anger and our resentment, our fear and laziness, our hardness of heart, our need to begin again. Father, we have failed you often and ask your forgiveness. Help us to live that others may know your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we can breathe a sigh of relief. God has forgiven us. Isn't that wonderful? And the collect for today. Almighty God, by the prayer and discipline of Lent, may we enter into the mystery of Christ's sufferings. By following in his way, come to share his glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And a very appropriate hymn, God forgave my sin. 129.
Thank you.
So please sit for our readings from the Bible.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be the heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes with faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you a father of many nations." He is our Father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. This is the word of the Lord.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. No one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. How can somebody be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they can't enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How can you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I've got a little friend with me today. There are not many children in here, are there, in family service? But we can all be children, can't we? Have you met Squawk the Parrot before? Yes, you have, haven't you? There he is. Yes, he's an LLP. Did you know that? I'm an LL minister, a licensed lay minister. He's a licensed lay made lay name, licensed lay parrot. And Derek Carr licensed him. I've got a little piece of paper that says that. Yes, that's right. So this is Squawk the Parrot. Have you met Squawk the Parrot? You have, haven't you? That's right, yes. Who's not met Squawk the Parrot before? Have you met Squawk the Parrot? Oh, give him a little squirrel. Well done. You've met? Yes, you've met. That's right, yes. You've met Squawk the Parrot? Give him a little stroke. Well done, thank you. Very friendly bird, thank you. We have somebody else who'd like, would you like to stroke? No. You'll do it for her. Thank you very much indeed. Yes. You like to stroke, don't you? Yes, thank you. Squawk is very unhappy. Squawk has been reading the Bible and he says he must be born again. But he says, I'm not born again. I've only been born once. Oh dear. So I can't be a member of the church, or I can't be a member of be a Christian. I can't be a Christian because I've not been born again. What do we say? How do we talk to Squawk? What can we say? How can we help him? He says, I'm not being born again. Does he have to be born again?
Yes.
Yes. Oh dear. But he's not born again. He's only been born once. We've got a problem, haven't we? Squawks very unhappy. Oh dear. Oh. How can we help him? Oh dear. Silence. Do you love Squawk? What are you going to do about it? Does God love Squawk? But he's not being born again. He says he loves God. And God loves him. Is that an answer?
Yes.
Might be something of an answer, mightn't it? Yes. God loves him. God forgives him for all the nasty things he's done. Yes. And God loves all of us. Have we all been born again?
Yes.
Have we? I'm not sure about myself. No. But there are, I'm going to tell you about what we mean by being born again in a minute. I'm going to tell you as well. And you will look, you like it then, okay? Thank you. Ooh. I think you like Squawk, really. Indeed. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a leader of the Jews, came to see Jesus by night. Preachers have often noted that Nicodemus came at night in secret under the cover of darkness, keeping his visit very secret, lacking the courage of his convictions. But I like Nicodemus, I admire him. A Pharisee, a leader of the Jews, Nicodemus was as establishment as you can get. Jesus, on the other hand, was a young upstart preacher. He just created a disturbance in the temple, a terrible violence. Today we call it the cleansing of the temple. I'm sure that Nicodemus's friends called it something else. People like Nicodemus usually avoided people like Jesus, but Nicodemus sought him out. Later, Nicodemus crossed paths with Jesus on two different occasions and did what he could to help Jesus. Firstly, religious leaders were plotting to arrest him, but Nicodemus defended him. Then, after Jesus' crucifixion, Nicodemus helped to prepare Jesus' body for burial. He provided £100 of burial ointments, then a veritable fortune. But this first time, Nicodemus came to see Jesus by night. He spoke to Jesus. His tone was respectful. He called Jesus a teacher and said that it was obvious that Jesus had come from God. Do all teachers come from... Yes, sorry, I'll carry on. Jesus responded by saying, "Most certainly I tell you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Born anew. The New Testament was written in Greek, and everything we read in the English language is a scholar's attempt to help us understand what the Greek words mean. The Greek word that is translated born anew is anothen. It can also be translated born again. And many Bibles translate it that way. It can also be translated born from above. All three are valid translations. For me, understanding this enriches the story. Jesus is telling us that we must be born again, born anew, and born from above. I can't be born anew on my own. I can't be born again on my own. I can't be born from above on my own. Only God has the power to remake me, to change me from a sinful person to a holy person, to give me new life. Only God has the power to do that. But born anew confused Nicodemus. He responded, "How can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter a second time in his mother's womb to be born?" Was Nicodemus trying to dodge Jesus' emphasis on a spiritual rebirth? Or was he really unable to think beyond the idea of physical birth? We don't know. Then Jesus gave another surprising response. He talked about the wind. Let's introduce another Greek word, pneuma, with a P in the beginning. Pneuma means wind, but it also means spirit. The pneuma, the wind, blows where it wants to and you hear its sound, but don't know where it comes from and where it is going. So it is, everyone is born of the pneuma, the spirit. The wind blows, we feel it and see its effects, but we don't know where it comes from or where it goes. It's like electricity. We know it's there, we respect its power, but we don't understand it. Jesus said, "So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Born of the Spirit. Jesus was saying, "You might not understand how the Spirit works to change people's lives, Nicodemus, but you cannot deny that it happens. Just as you felt the wind on your face, so you have also seen men and women whose lives have been changed by the Spirit of God. And so have we. We've met people who are full of God's love and gentleness and kindness. There are people like that here today. Sometimes there are tough people whom Christ has made gentle. I once read about a man like that. He was a tough guy, a school rugby player. He loved to hit opposing players, to hit them hard and to take them out. He was a tough guy off field too, drinking a lot, getting into fights, heading for trouble. But the local club offered to pay him to join a big fellowship of Christian athletes get together. He thought it would be fun. He had professional coaching. They also talked about Jesus and the Christian faith. He enjoyed the professional coaching. He skipped the part about Jesus and the Christian faith. He would go back to his room and he would get a drink. After he returned home, the local school asked him to tell the parents of his experience. He didn't want to tell them about skipping the parts about Jesus. So he got some of the material that had been given him and he began to read. And it made sense to him. Things began to come into focus. He went to a pastor for more help and eventually became a Christian. He studied for the ministry and he has been a minister for decades. They call him Gentle Ben. A long time ago, I also met someone else like that. I met him in prison. I was in the waiting room waiting to visit a prisoner. And I also noticed a middle-aged man. He had a strong face and wore a leather jacket. He obviously had travelled many a hard mile. He looked tough. But something in his manner spoke of gentleness. Something in his manner drew me to him, even though he was just standing there, not saying a word. It was a kind of strength, a kind of quiet strength. I learned that he was a Christian, layman from a nearby church. He was visiting a prisoner as an act of ministry. He was a person whose life Christ had touched. I was fascinated to realize that I could see the special quality of his life before I even met him, before he ever opened his mouth. Jesus said, unless someone is born anew or born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. No one can see the kingdom of God without being recreated by the hand of God. No one can see the kingdom of God until they submit themselves to God's sculpturing hand. Some of us have a problem with the phrase born again. First of all, born again has been co-opted by Christians who seem to want to force all Christians into the same mold. They can be irritating. Herbert Keane, the columnist, said, the trouble with born again Christians is that they are even bigger pain the second time round. Is there such a thing as a Christian who hasn't been born again? There must not be. If Jesus said, unless one is born anew or born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's another problem with this born again ideal. Some of us are raised in Christian homes and came to our faith gradually. We can't point to a dramatic conversion. We're not drunks or carousers. We didn't get saved from booze and conniving at a revival meeting. But that's all right. Our Christian birth experience could be gentler because Christ has had more time to shape our lives. When Jesus comes into our lives earlier, he can use sandpaper instead of a sledgehammer to remake us into godly people. That reminds me of a road sign on an unmade road in the wilderness of Alaska. The sign says, choose your rut carefully because you will be in it for the next 25 miles. The people who believe that, you can't teach a new dog a new tricks, there's a dog in the back, I believe we will be the same rut for the rest of our lives. Oh dear, how terrible. But Jesus doesn't agree. When Jesus says, unless one is born anew or born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He is saying we can change, that there is hope. The power for that hope comes from above. The power of that hope comes from God. We cannot change ourselves, but God's Holy Spirit can change us. God can do great things for us if we will let him. God created us in his image in the beginning, but we defaced that image by our sin. Now God offers to recreate us once again in the fullness of our original godly beauty. Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I thought there was a hymn about that. I discovered it was Stainer's Crucifixion. It's not a hymn, so we can't sing it, but I'd love to sing it. So all it takes is this. We must want God to change our lives. We must be willing to let God and let go. We must be willing to become what God wants rather than what we want. So let's pray for God to recreate us again in his beautiful image. Let's pray for God to make us new people. Then let us stand back and see what God can do. Amen.
Amen.
And now we have a hymn, As the Deer Pants for the Water, number 27. As we stand, let us say together our statement of faith. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, as we sit, you can sit down. Jean will come and pray with us.
Let us pray. We thank you that all who believe, Heavenly Father, we thank you that all who believe and trust in Jesus Christ our Saviour, and through your mercy and forgiveness, will be born anew through your Holy Spirit, and therefore will be able to see your glorious kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, those of us who have children are enormously grateful for the gift. Despite the heartaches, there's huge fun and privilege in this responsibility, and a glimpse of both the joy and cost of your parenting of humankind. Again, this day we entrust our children to you, praying that all shall be well with them. Bless them, Lord, then bless them again. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we thank you for families, friends and neighbours, for the joys of close relationships and for all they teach us of your love. Encourage the young, support the elderly, assist those who care for them and those who care for the carers. Grant to all of us patience, understanding and good humour. And let our service to each other be patterned on the life of Christ in the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the world, your world, with all its opportunities, all its resources, and all its potential for good. We remember with deep gratitude its beauty and variety, and the essential goodness it has because you are its creator. For every way, that is a reflection of your grace and love. Teach us and all people to remember the obligations that you have laid upon us to be good stewards of your world. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you are our strength in times of weakness. You are our hope in times of darkness. We pray for all those struggling at this time, all who are finding life hard and the outlook bleak. We pray for those noted on our pew sheet. Gail, now in Berry Lodge, recuperating. John and Angela Watts. Roger Strachan, Angela's brother, having had his operation and recovering. Amanda, recovering well at home after her operation. And Caden, who has completed phase one of his treatment and will shortly start phase two. And in a few moments of silence, we remember loved ones and friends who also need our prayers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We have a dream that all the world will meet you and know you, Jesus, in your loving power, that someday soon all people everywhere will hear your story and hear it in a way they understand. And now we say the prayers Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Jean. And now we come to our offertory hymn, Blessed Assurance, number 44.
Goodness, lost in his love.
So may the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. May the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and all whom we love, now and always. Amen.